Good morning. Thanks for the songs. It's a topic that I don't think we can ever exhaust is God's grace. And that's where we are today. And I hope and pray somehow that we don't get in a rush in Titus and move out of that, because God's grace, I don't think any of us, myself first of all, I don't think we really understand the height and the depth and the width and the power, the availability of God's grace. And I feel it's something that he would have us. Not only, let's say we're in a time of milk and honey right now, he'd still want us to know about his grace. But we are not in the land of milk and honey anymore. Things are changing rapidly. It's a world that we've been saying is changing every single day. You can't make some of the things up that are going on today. And I certainly don't want this to be in any way leaning towards a political bent, because this is not political, what we're in. I've said it before. This is spiritual. This isn't dependent on where we're heading and what direction we're going. And the grace that we just sang, every song included that grace. This is a spiritual battle. It's not going to be corrected by a political party. Being politically correct is something that I see happening everywhere, including the churches that call themselves by his name. We should not be politically correct. We should not be standing on one side or the other. We should be biblically correct. And the only way to get that into our hearts and minds is to get into his word. There's so much assaulting us daily, coming in our ear gates and our eye gates. And the only way to remove that from settling into us like it is some of us, I admit it to you, I have to stop watching what's going on because I just get so worked up. It causes me to really, not that I forget it, but it doesn't come in that God has got this. He's got a plan, and this is part of his plan, believe it or not. So we're in Titus, but during worship there, and sorry that I wasn't completely engrossed in that. I got led to Matthew 24. And verse 11 of Matthew 24, you can or cannot turn to there. If you want to stay in Titus, we're going to get there. But it all dovetail in, I'm sure, about God's grace, which is what you and I live and breathe and have our being in. If it were not for his grace, we wouldn't even be here. I don't think of one of us. You know, we might walk into a building called a church, but we wouldn't be in the position that we're in. Saved individuals, those that have hope beyond hope, and an eternity that awaits us that far exceeds anything that you and I have lived up to this point today. We have more time ahead of us than we have behind us, and it's a time of glory. You might be way ahead of me in the journey, but how do we forget that every day? How do we allow the things of this earth, which are supposed to grow strangely dim in the words of the hymn, when we look in the light of his glorious face, how do we let these things overrule and override each one of us when we know where we're going? We have proof of that. It has lasted the ages. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's God Almighty asking you and your heart, nobody else, trust me. You don't need to understand everything that I say, but I'm asking you to believe what I say. And that's what I feel God tells me. I don't understand all this. Pat will admit, I was a mess this week. Grace. You know, you've heard that old adage that, you know, there are things in God's word that are so shallow a baby can wade in them and an elephant can drown in them. Grace is one of those areas that, forget the elephant, how about a brontosaurus, or, you know, you couldn't get your head above the water of God's grace unless he lifted us up like he did to Noah. That grace is something that I think we're going to see a lot faster than any of us really imagined. So during the worship, I felt like, Lord, what's happening? Why? What is it that you want from all of us? And it says in verse 11 to 24, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And if that was back then, think of how slick it's gotten and how in depth the deception has gotten, not only over the airwaves, but the, you know, the TVs, radios, computers, books, people. It's unbelievable. How do we keep from being deceived is to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And if we've made that decision to follow him, then we need to follow him, period, amen. Not a little bit here, well, I like this, I don't like that, well, I kind of like over here. I'm going to get politically motivated and get working on this. That might be good. Make a vote and make sure it's the right one, but get out of it. Get biblically motivated, Doug, is what I keep hearing. How much of this do you really want to stand on? How much of it do you only want to have one foot on and maybe one foot way over here? It's getting to a point, as he said in here, there are many deceivers. And because iniquity, it's an interesting word in the Greek, iniquity is lawlessness. Has anybody viewed any lawlessness happening around us lately? Yeah. This isn't just, you know, some imagination of some deranged individual thinking these things up. This is God manifest in the flesh, who came to save his loved ones, his mankind, you know, and mankind, all of us, not just man, women, men, babies, kids. He came here and gave his life that we might have this understanding in us. Because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I'm seeing it happen all around me. To a degree, Pat didn't want to teach in Peter at the women's Bible study because she felt like she hasn't lived up to that standard. I feel like that. What am I doing up here? Any one of you should come up. Just preach God's word. But see, he's working in us. And because of the lawlessness that's around us, and because of what we're seeing happening to this place we called home at one time, which it is not our home. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're just moving through this. Stop digging in. My old man used to say, when you're in a hole, quit digging. That's the rule of holes. And, you know, some of us are still digging in. Like, we're going to be here forever, and maybe it'll get better. It's not. And because of that iniquity or lawlessness, or the pride is in that Greek word too, vanity, love will wax cold. And I'm feeling it go out of me. How about you? I don't love like I did in the beginning. I don't stand in McDonald's anymore and turn around on the line and say, because you can't go in anymore, but I think they're letting us in now, right? Remember when you used to just tell people, do you know Jesus? Checkout lines, you know? I used to love to go to the checkout line and run my head across the scanner. And they'd look at me and I'd say, I'm just getting ready for what's coming. And it would be like, get them out of here quick, you know? Because of this lawlessness, the love of many will wax cold. Don't let it be us. And if you feel a little cold, put something on. Put on a sweater if you're cold, right? Well, let's put on Jesus again. And this won't affect us. It won't. It's like we saw so much water yesterday trying to take care of the water on the ranch from what we've had that the ground is so saturated. We had 2-foot deep ponds out in these flat pasture areas that have never been there in the 40 years that we've been there. The ground was so saturated that rain had no place to go. And that's how we should be, that if we're so saturated with God's word and not living at 100%, not being, but just having it in there, there's not going to be any place for the stuff of the world to go. It's just going to kind of rise up and get off of us and we can shed it. But the Lord goes on to say, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same will be saved. Endurance. It's time to run that race. Every one of us has a certain race that we're set for in our lives. God has ordained them. God set up our lives. It's not like, you know, if I go like this, God made me do that. He predestines. He preordains because of his foreknowledge a life and a path that we're going to live. And it's time, I feel, for Doug, endure it then. Sometimes it's hard. Some of us have a path that is so much harder than others. I don't know how you endure some of the things that you go through. Others of us have lives that, you know, people would fold and walk away, and they're still enduring. So it's basically the old buck up. What did Justin used to tell me? Suck it up. That was the biblical teaching I came up under Pastor Justin Alford, with a good punch in the arm that would knock you off a chair, and he'd tell me, quit crying and suck it up. To a degree, that's true. God has got, it's not the end. We act and live as if this is it. Oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. And I handed out papers today, but at least they were scriptural. We hand things out as if this is it, it's over. Hand this out. Hand this out. He who endures to the end will be saved. The good work I started in you. And if you're his, he started it. You didn't do it. You just said, yes, okay, I'm shot. Here I am. I will complete that, is what Jesus says. Wow. How do we lose this? Maybe it's just the thought of, you mean we're not going to get another stimulus check? No. Oh, no. How am I going to live? I live by the breath, by the life, by the word of God. Everything that he gives us. So we're going to see that today is what Paul is trying to explain to Titus. If you turn there to chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 11 through 15. And Paul was instructing Titus how to lead a church. He was showing how the leadership should look. He was showing how the older men and women should look. He was showing how the younger men and women should look. Christian ethics, if we can put it to that. And God does, he expects, let me say that. You know, we don't like those definite words anymore, do we? You know, like cover that one over a little bit. God expects certain things. And I think when he looks, it's not you better. I think I know you're going to do it. I know, oh, you missed it today, you're going to get it tomorrow. God expects certain behavior, certain appearance, and that's not a shirt and a tie, but appearance of his children, because we're out there expressing, manifesting God, Jesus Christ, his power that comes only through the Holy Spirit in our little, mortal, finite bodies. I mean, that's enough to make a guy's head explode, isn't it? That I carry around the Holy Spirit, you carry around the Holy Spirit. The things that you're able to do, you're not doing them yourself. They're coming through the power of God given to us. That, like I said, that's too much. And that's how I feel with trying to express grace. I'm gonna babble a little bit if I can, like I don't do that always. But God wants some consistent behavior from his family, from his children. And when we look into grace, we'll find the answer. And I haven't found that book yet. I haven't got it. But What's So Amazing About Grace is a book that's out on the market today. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a beginning of a journey that won't end until we get to heaven. And when we get there, I think the understanding of grace is going to be beyond anything we could ever think, imagine, drum up. And that's what God wants us to get a taste of right now, is his grace for what you're going through, for the way why should I act like this? I'm going to say it. Tommy and I, years ago, you think that, right? Why should I care about how he thinks I look? You know why? Because God cares about how he thinks how I look, because it makes that guy look, is that what your God is like? And that's not a negative, Tommy, in any way. It's just we're flesh, we're humans. But God expects us, as we see in Titus here, and that's what Paul was telling Titus and the people in Crete, start looking like me. And why were you attracted to a real Christian and to Jesus Christ? Was it because they were a pain in the neck? Was it because they hammered you with the word every, or did you see some kind of joy? Did you see some kind of happiness? Did you see some kind of a heartache that was unbearable if it came into your life, but you watched the person walking through it and then saying, but praise God, praise God. You know, that's what drew us. It's his love. It's his kindness. It's his grace. And we have to start manifesting that for the time that we're in right now. We're in a time like never before, and I've said that. And I said to Peter this morning, I feel as if we're We're in the garden. You know, things are starting to die right now, but we're in the garden here in America. I mean, we got homes and we got food and we got cars, we got television, we got everything we want. And those guys had Jesus at that time, and they walked him into the garden. He says, "Hey guys, just do me a favor. Sit here and watch, because I'm going in a little deeper. Just sit here and watch and pray 1 hour." And he came, and you know the story. He found them sleeping, didn't he? So he shook them, said, "Hey guys, wake up, pray." "Oh, yes, sir, sorry about that, you know." He went off, prayed a little deeper, knowing what came back, asleep again. Shook them. Wasn't nasty. Didn't yell at them. Just said, "Wake up. I asked you to pray." The third time when the Lord came back and found them sleeping, and I think that's where the church at large is right now. The third time he came and they were sleeping, he woke them up gently and said, "Wake up. Sleep if you must, but let's go. Those who are coming are here." It's here. We're in that last shake. We can't go back to sleep and think, okay, everything's going to be all right. This will pass. It's not. It's not going to pass until this earth that we desire at some time so much, till this one passes away. And then there's a new heaven and a new earth that is on its way, made by God with all of his glory and grace, is going to be encapsulated in that. That's what we need to endure until that day comes to us. So let's read Titus. Chapter 2, remember he just told everybody in the church, those that are just, you know, and don't ever, and I haven't said it in a while, don't ever think of yourself as just a pew pigeon. You know, you're just here to fill a seat. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's not, oh, you know, other pigeons don't like things, and you know what happens there. You're not a pew pigeon. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. He's asked us to be his witness. Look what I did to your life, Doug. And those who have been forgiven much, love much. Get out there and love me in front of people. Show them who I am. Show them what I really look like, because the world has this unbelievable picture of who our God really is. So he tells him how I expect you, how God, it wasn't Paul saying, "I expect you." This was basic Christian ethics for the whole of Christianity. And then he puts in this word in 11 that I love, because if you look, I said we were going to read it. Let's read it. I started preaching it. "For the grace of God," verse 11, "that brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope," verse 13, "and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Don't miss that. In the Greek, that's one article. God and Jesus are the same. They're not two. See, they're one person in three beings, but the Greek puts this together. This is watching for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise you. Father, open up your word to us today by your Spirit, that this grace that we live and breathe and have our being within, Lord, that we might just not only attest to it once in a while, but we would know it each and every day, no matter where we might stand today, Lord, that we would sense it, that we would see it in a rich and a real way. In Jesus' name. Grace of God, as we read those, just those few verses, this grace, I mean, it's like the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. There's the three R's of grace. There's so many graces, too. I mean, you got all, you know, positional grace, and we're not going to go to that. This is a grace that in its three tenses, the three R's that we might be able to remember it, is first, this grace redeems us from life to death. And see, that's what the question is today. And, you know, I said it wasn't going to be politics, but just try to remember, it's not politics. It's not roads and infrastructure and bridges and stimulus checks. It's life or death. that we're playing with today. And that's what God is trying to get us to open our ears up. I am redeeming a world from death to life. So at first, he redeems us. Then once we get saved, he reforms us or refines us or begins that work of sanctification within us. And then what still gets me to this day is after all that, the third part of that grace is he rewards us. Why? That's love. What kind of love is this? I could see him, yeah, I redeem you. There you go, you know, okay, set you aside, go live your life and have a good time. If it was only that, we would be most miserable. But yet he takes the power of sin and destroys it and reforms us or refines us and kind of changes us a little bit. Now, you know, myself included, but looking at it takes him a little bit more time with some people than others. I don't know why that is. Is anything too hard for God? No. But he just gently leads us and guides us. And then after that's all done and he gets us to a point where he's ready to open the doors of heaven, we walk in there and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then when we get at that, however the presentation is, he's just got stuff. Do you ever watch your children at Christmas ripping presents open and the joy that's in there? That's what God sees in us. He wants to give us something to see that joy. He wants to give us something that we've never had, never tasted, never even could think of. He wants to give us that so he could be even more, if possible, filled with the joy that he has for each one of us. Because now we understand it. Simple process. What happened along the way that we've kind of forgotten that? Why should I live by a higher standard? Why should I care what my neighbor thinks of me? Why should I care what that guy that's looking right now feels about me or who I used to be or anything else? Paul gives the answer in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And that's Jesus Christ. At that point in time, when Christ stepped out of heaven and came down manifesting God to the world, for our redemption, there was a universal need at that time. There was a universal need for the whole world, not just for a couple of people here or there. And God supplied a universal remedy, Jesus Christ. That universal need is here today. Excuse me again. The vaccination is good. Let me put that on record if you're listening and watching, whoever you might be. The vaccination is okay to get if you want to. Go get it. But it is not going to save us. It will not bring us into eternity. It might keep me from being sick now, but it will not bring me into eternity. See, there's a universal need for that right now so more people don't get sick, and that's its remedy. But for life and death, for eternity, with or without God, the only universal remedy is Jesus Christ. And we've got to stand on that. That's the enduring to the end, because you're going to be mocked for that. You're going to be laughed at for that. What college degree do you have? Or what class did you take on that? You just tell them, I've been sitting in the Holy Spirit University for X amount of time. You can take it if you want, you can leave it if you want, but I'm just telling you, here's the truth. So, why should I live like that? Is because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. The salvation of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Nothing short of that. This is a word that was so necessary that the Holy Spirit put it in here for these Christians in Crete. I feel it's a word that's so important for us today, and let's isolate ourselves. We're not elitists or anything else, but let's just bring it down to Netherland and where we roam from here. This is what we've got to start preaching. So turn to John chapter 1. I think this has become one of my favorite sections in God's Word, showing that verse that we just read, because this is why I should live like a Christian. If I say I believe, I should behave like one. This is why I should do it, because God sent his Son to live among us, to die on that cross, to become sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that you and I might be made the righteousness of him in God, who are nothing but sinners. He came down from heaven and lived basically a hell on earth so that you and I might go to heaven and live eternally with him. Wow, that's some price to pay, isn't it? And the Word of God says that, Doug, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, your soul, your spirit, everything we do. But we don't have to do it. Don't think that I'm bringing this, that you have to be. Seth, you better live up to Franklin Graham and be better right now than he's doing, or else, you know. Craig, you got. We always compare ourselves to someone else and feel as if we've fallen short of that goal. That's the Christian that God intended that person to be. There are no more Franklin Grahams. There are no more Billy Grahams. There are no more Corey Ten Booms. Do we understand that? But there are some Alice Ames that may be somebody, or there might be a Diane, or there might be, you know, put your name in there. We just have to live up to what God has put into us and tell people about this love that each and every one of us have really overindulged in for a long time. So John, if you're in there, I feel that this is every bit of as much a part of verse 11 of Titus, and it explains it and it opens, oh, the grace that brings salvation, you know, has appeared to all men. Oh, you know, and don't forget, all men. See, this is not denominational. This is not segregational. This is not elitist. The grace that God sent to this world through his Son, that grace is for all. That's a really interesting word, isn't it, Peter? In Greek, the word all, it means all. Isn't that deep? Doesn't mean some, or, you know, if you do this right, or you jump this way, or sing that way. It means all. And it has come here. So if anyone falls short of life eternal, it is not God's fault. That choice is ours. And I'd ask you today, be pro-choice, not in the world's terms. Pro-choice. My choice is Jesus Christ. That's the only way out of this. So it says, in the beginning, and when I had made that statement back in Titus about looking for God and our Lord Jesus, one person, one article in the Greek, and this right here in John, this goes, takes us back to Genesis, in the beginning when Jesus was up there with God and thinking about mankind, and let's make man and women after our own image and blah, blah, all that. And it goes right to the very end of the book in Revelation. And here in John, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Kai Theos en Hologos. God was the Word. Did I butcher that at all, Greek scholars? God and Jesus. I did butcher it? Yeah?
Amen.
Amen. God and Jesus. We've got to let people know, yeah, oh yeah, I believe in God, but you can keep that Jesus business. Oh, the Holy Spirit, that's spooky stuff. We've got to understand God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're one. And it's a package deal, if you will. I hate putting it that way, but you can't have one without the other. And if we get that wrong, it doesn't matter what else we get right. It doesn't matter how many marches we go on. It doesn't matter how many banners we fly. It doesn't matter what we put on our front lawn. If we don't see that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one entity that wants to love you for eternity, we've missed everything. So this is the grace that has appeared. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The same, verse 2, he, Jesus, the same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And you can look in Colossians on that one. This, it just keeps growing, that the heavens and the earth consist by the hands of Jesus Christ. Our old children's song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Yes, he does. But it's the same thing as the Adam, that God is holding that together. And when he takes his hand apart from that, and it goes. Everything is made by him, for him, and by Jesus they consist. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Wonder why. How'd you miss something like that? How did we miss something like that? Well, the Word of God says in, I think, John 3:20 maybe, that we love the darkness more than we love the light. Love the evil deeds, love the fun, love the running, love the things of the earth a whole lot more than the one that made the earth. Let it not be said of any of us that we would love darkness more than we love light. Don't let any of our children or our family understand that this is what we're dealing with now, a battle between light and dark and life and death. And there is only one universal remedy, no matter who you are, what country, what state you live in. It's not elitism, only for we privileged people, that he loved us so much that he shed his grace on America. He shed it all over the world. It's not just to us. But people miss that for some reason, because maybe Christianity in its essence didn't exhibit that. Oh, there were some. There were a lot of missionaries that went over and gave their very lives, tortured. Richard Wurmbrand, Corrie Ten Boom, I mean, it'd go on and on. But where are the modern day that God would ask us not to be martyred for him, but would you go out there and live for me? Don't die for me. I've got some other, just go out there and live for me today. Tell one person something that has to do with what we're looking at today. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I look in here and there's some things in my Bible I wrote years and years ago and I thought, wow, do I really believe that today? There was a man sent from God whose name was Doug, I wrote in there. And I tell you guys. So the point and purpose that John had, it tells us in 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that, again, there's that word, all men through him might believe. Is how about just some men and women? How about the perfect ones? How about the ones that really look pretty sharp? No, all men again. So you put your name in there and realize this is our commission. This is our, you might not be on the mission field, but we are on the mission field. Our mission is that God has sent us, whatever your name might be, to bear witness to the light. Carry that. Just carry that light to somebody else. And they don't have to sign on the dotted line. Don't be afraid. We don't have to knock on doors. You watch the opportunity that'll come into your life and mine tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening at work or someplace, where you'll just know when the person says something that the perfect answer is, but God. But God. Why is this happening to me? Why is this? All those things, we can bring the light of the world right into a person's life. Now, don't get too puffed up. As Mark Twain said, the problem with the human body, when you tap it on the back, the head swells. God makes sure he doesn't want that happen to us, like we are the answer to everything. Verse 8 says, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Unlike Shirley MacLaine or anybody else, we are not him. We'll never be him until we get face to face and he changes us and redeems us, reforms us, and rewards us. There will be a Christ likeness that we've never seen before, but it isn't happening down here. Don't get discouraged then. He's telling us right there, Doug, you're not the light. All I asked you to do is bring it to somebody. I can't condemn anybody. I can't justifiably send somebody to heaven or to hell. That's not up to me. That's up to God and the individual. And all I have to do is bring this word of life to a world that right now is so out of control and not going to change, that he's the only way. That's not that hard. That was the true light, which lights every man, and there it is again, that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe him? That's your salvation. It's not being perfected. It's not being the best that you can possibly be. Are we trying? Are we kind of, what word can I use? Are we kind of bummed that I missed the mark during days? That's okay. But see, what he's saying to us right here is he's going to give the Holy Spirit to us. That even in our own way, if we can't do it, he's already given us the power of God to become the sons of God by believing on his name. It's not like he chose this one to heaven and chose this one to hell. He's throwing out an opportunity to hear his word and believe in it, even though we might not understand it. And this is all wrapped up again, if I hope I'm not losing anyone, in verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. This is it. There isn't any other hope or help. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again. Just like Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. A term for some reason that has fallen into derision in our Western society. Oh, you're one of them born again Christians. I don't know what the new term would be, but I'm a Christian who loves Jesus beyond anything, beyond titles, beyond denominations, beyond political afflictions. What's the word? Affiliations. I know. I try to slide it under the radar, but you got it. So if you're asleep, say amen, as McGee used to say. And then you hear amen. He was known for that. Verse 14, and I will end there for today. And the Word, Jesus Christ, he was made flesh and dwelt. He dwelt among us. That means he pitched his tent in the Greek. Pitched his tent down here amongst us so that we might understand, just get a slight taste of his grace, a slight taste of his love. How deep is his love? I read a little thing years ago by John Corson. You remember John? Some of you do, some of you don't. Anyhow, he said, God's, you know, when we're trying to tell people the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that grace and truth is love. And so John made this statement. He goes, think of the person, and now I don't ask you guys to raise your hand or anything. Think of the person who bugs you the most in your life. Does everybody have one? You just cringe when you see them, and they don't have to be personal friends. These could be TV talking heads. The person who bugs you the most, God is passionately in love with that person. God loves him enough to give his life for him. That person that I think isn't worth anything, that person that I think doesn't deserve this or that, that person who we, you know, just bugs me to hear his voice. It's like teeth on a blackboard. God loves that person passionately. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Not only, as we learned today, does that grace redeem us. Next week, we're going to learn that that grace, that same grace that lifts us from death into life, that same grace will teach us. It's like a schoolmaster. It's not just reading the Word of God and then trying to remember it. The grace of God is encapsulated, if you would, within the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and he's going to teach us if we're willing to learn. Now, I look out here, and some of you have certain degrees, and I'm not making fun of that. That's because you listened to the teaching, you studied it, you put it on, you applied it to your life, and it is, I went to school and I surfed. That was it. Can I have the pass? Certainly, Doug, and off I'd run to the car with my friends and go surf. The grace of God will teach us how to live in this world that we're looking at that's falling apart. We'll see that next week. That amazes me. God is going to teach me. Personal instructor. The Holy Spirit is going to speak words into my ears and my heart that's going to help me tomorrow, the next day, until I get home to that very throne. Be with the ones that I know you want to see. The ones that you've been, because if this grace isn't true, we don't have any hope. This is the blessed hope. This is all we got, is that we're going to be reunited. First with God, who's going to love us beyond anything we ever thought capable. And then we're going to be, and this isn't just some, did you read that part about, this is real, Mike, heaven. Mike's doing that study. It's not some ethereal floating beings on a cloud with a harp. This is real business. It's going to be us in resurrected bodies living a life that God intended it to be. Your choice. The people that you're going to talk to this week, their choice. The grace has appeared. Now all you got to do is look at it, look into it, and then let it teach us, as we're going to hear next week, about this blessed hope that's on its way. So, Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. I just wish I knew during the course of one day how many times you pour grace out. Forgiveness and kindness and love, understanding, that we might be able to endure one more day. So be with us this week, Lord, as we look into your face. Help us to realize you've got this world. What I can touch is my children, my family, my friends, and those around me in my community, Lord. So help us, as Paul was trying to help Titus, and the Holy Spirit's trying to help us, how we should live in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's stand and worship. Next week, to be continued. Oh, you want to? Hey, can I look at? Can I have one? What did Paul say? Bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed, if you would, bear with me. This is kind of profound. I'm not saying it's biblical whatsoever, but I know I said it to Jake and to Robin this morning as I tried to enter the men's room, and they were blocking the door, talking. They were just fellowshipping, and I sang them a Dylan line that said, don't stand in the doorways, don't block up the hall. And I went back to that. Come gather around people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. Don't speak too soon, for the wheels still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. That's us. First are going to be last. Last are going to be first. For the times there are changing, come. Senators and congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway. That's what I was singing to you guys. I know Robin knew it. Jake, did you ever hear that one? You probably did. Don't block up the hall, for he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. We need oil in our lamps. We can't just wait and wait and wait. The battle outside is raging. We'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times they are a-changing. And God's promise is that it will shake everything that can be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. And the judgment of God starts at the house of God. So there'll be no excuse about Christian privilege at that time. Well, you loved them because they were yours. He's going to start with us, and then he'll go to the world. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, Don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times they are a-changing. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast, the slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are changing. I don't know why, but there's something in it, I think, for each one of us. I can find God in a lot of places. How about you?